The Bible reading tonight is from Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the path and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" An expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
I was told when I came from Melbourne to Thornleigh to expect this strange whistling noise in the auditorium, so I'm not disappointed. So thank you, whoever the whistlers are. Beautiful to hear. Great to be with you today, and to celebrate partnership in the gospel. This church is an incredibly generous church. I know you've got a heart for mission across the street and across the world. I looked up some stats last night, and although this church has given to Baptist Mission Australia for many years, this year marks 38 years of consecutive giving, and more than $1.3 million has come out of this mission community to support our team members and projects around the world. So incredible thank you on behalf of our team and our board for your prayers and your support and generosity. More than ever, we need that support in our broken world, our hurting world, a world where there is so much conflict, where many people still don't know Jesus in a way that makes sense to them. We need that support, and so we value partnership. Will you pray with me as we come to open up God's word tonight? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know you are present with us here, and so our prayer would be, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Just right now in the quietness, in the stillness, amid the busy lives that we all live, may we posture ourselves afresh that we might hear from you tonight. Not only hear from you, but that we might be people who have the faith and the courage and the desire to apply your word to our lives, because may it be our desire that we want to look and love and live and lead more like Jesus. And we know we can't do that on our own. We know that we need your Spirit to be at work in our lives. And so come, Holy Spirit, as we open up your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm heading to Newcastle tomorrow, my hometown, where I've still got some of my older kids who live there. And I'll be catching up with my oldest boy, PJ, who's 30. And he's an adventurer. He always has been from a young age. When he was kind of, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, "Dad, can I go on the giant roller coaster? Can I go on the big scary rides?" And I don't know about you, but I hate those kind of things. And so it was always good to have an excuse of having other kids around to say, "Oh, I know, PJ, you go on the ride. I'll look after the other kids." And I got a message from him recently on a trip that he was doing, and he said, "Dad, I'll be out of phone range for 2 or 3 days. I'm going to be riding my bike down the North Yungas Road in Bolivia." Fair enough. So I get on the computer and I look up the North Yungas Road. It's called the Road of Death. The Road of Death. It's 60 kilometres downhill, one thin lane, a car can just fit on it, a gravel road, 600 metres drop to the bottom, no guardrails. And people like my son think it's a good idea to ride a push bike down the hill as fast as you can go to get to the bottom. I'm glad 3 days later when I got a text from him saying, "Dad, I am still alive." The Road of Death. We come to a passage that we just heard read for us tonight in Luke's Gospel. And it's a story that if you've grown up in the church, you know, whether you're 15, 25, 55, 75 tonight, if you've grown up in the church, you've heard this story before, the Good Samaritan story. And it can become familiar to us that it can lose some of its power. It can lose some of its scandalous kind of radical nature. And so I want to invite you to come back to this story briefly with me tonight because it's a powerful metaphor for mission in our world. It's Jesus kind of challenging the first century religious leaders about what it really means to practice love and compassion. And that challenge comes to life for us today when we think, what does it mean for me to model the heart of Jesus across the street and around the world? In this story, we have a man in the ditch. And the story is told where Jesus deliberately positions the story on a dangerous road. You know, my son was riding on the road of death. This was called the road of the blood. You knew that if you went from Jerusalem to Jericho on that road in the first century, you faced great risk. And you could get beaten, robbed, bashed, killed. It was a dangerous road. And Jesus tells the story and intentionally positions the story on this road, a road of brokenness. And can I just invite you just right now, immediately as we think about that, just to pause and think, well, who are the broken around me? Who are the people in my life that I will intersect with this week? Who are the people around the world that I might feel a heart and a burden for in my life? And it'll be different for each one of us in this building tonight. Who are the people around me experiencing brokenness that Jesus might challenge me this week to be the hands and feet of Christ? That's the challenge as we open up God's word tonight. So Jesus tells the story. There's this man walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's bashed, he's robbed, he's left dying in the ditch. And then Jesus says, and then two religious men walk along. And if we were in the crowd that day, here's Jesus telling the story. A young man has just come to try and trap him. This young man has come to ask him kind of a theological question to try and trap Jesus as opposition rises. And Jesus masterfully captures that moment and retells this story. And so if we're in the crowd as Jewish listeners, we suddenly hear, here's a Jewish man lying in a ditch dying and two religious men come along. It's going to be a short story because we know what's going to happen. These two religious men, of course, are going to stop and show God's compassion and love. But then powerfully Jesus says, they don't stop. They may be caught up in their religion, but they've lost sight of what it means to practice and model God's love in action. And straight away, whether we're here tonight, whether we're 15 or whether we're 75, and we come to church and we might know what it is to go through the religious motions, we're challenged afresh to look at our heart tonight and to say, does my heart model the heart of Jesus? Do my values, my priorities, my ethics, my behaviour, my compassion, does it model the ways of Jesus? The two religious men see the Jewish man, they hear him crying in the ditch, but they pass by. And then scandalously, powerfully, Jesus says, and then a Samaritan man walks by. And immediately Jesus says that, the crowd kind of around would have kind of been captured by that. You know, the Samaritan man was the hated one, the ostracized one, pushed to the margins. The Jews called them dogs in the first century world. You know, of course this man won't stop. And suddenly Jesus kind of turns the view and the world upside down with his story because he says, it's the Samaritan one who becomes the Christ-like one. It's the Samaritan one, the most unlikely, who becomes the Christ-like one. And I take hold of that tonight and I pause and I remind myself, as I remind each one of us in this auditorium, that often God uses the most unlikely. Often God uses those who think they are insignificant. And the reality that every one of us in this building tonight is invited to join in God's mission in restoring the world across the street today, in your world, in your community, as well as across the globe. And maybe tonight you're sitting here and you're feeling excluded or disqualified, but none of us are. We're all graciously invited to join God in mission around the world. He doesn't need Baptist Mission Australia. God doesn't need TCBC, but he graciously invites us as broken, ordinary people to become his hands and his feet. You know, across the world today, we see God at work in amazing ways. There's a movement of mission that people are finding hard to explain, where a group of women in the Philippines, seeing opportunities to share the gospel in the Middle East, got their heads together with no mission agency or no kind of local church behind them, but a group of women got together and said, what if we trained as housemaids and we intentionally went to the Middle East and worked among wealthy Arabic families, and there we sought to model the loving heart of Jesus? And this movement began, and there are now thousands of women from the Philippines who've moved across the Middle East, and God is at work. And Andrew Scott, who used to head up OM in America, said, I can't explain what is happening here other than this is what happens when the Holy Spirit turns up. The reality that every one of us is invited to play, and none of us disqualified, none of us excluded. The Samaritan one is the most unlikely, but he becomes the Christ-like one. And as you step out this week, my challenge, your challenge, as you step out this week and go about life in this local community, we are called to be the Christ-like ones in a world that desperately needs the love and the hope of Jesus. And so what do we see in the Samaritan man that models the heart of Jesus? First, we see alignment. We see alignment. His heart is aligned with the ways of God. The two religious men who we expect to stop don't stop. But the Samaritan man stops because he hears the cries. And we read in the scripture that his heart is moved. In one of my favorite stories in the Gospels, in Luke chapter 7, we read of a woman who's lost her husband and whose son has died. In the first century world, here's a picture of devastation, where this woman now is bereft of income and hope. And here is this weeping woman. And in Luke 7, we read, Jesus saw the woman. I just love that phrase, Jesus saw the woman. And then we read, his heart was moved with compassion. The translation in Greek is really, Jesus' gut was moved. Jesus' gut, his stomach was turned and moved because of how much he felt for this woman. And his gut moves for us. But he calls for us to be people whose gut moves for others. And we see that in the Samaritan man. He hears the cries of the Jewish man. He doesn't think about ethnicity or religious background or their difference. But he's drawn in love and compassion to get his hands dirty because his heart is aligned with the ways of Jesus. That's the starting point for all of us. Now, before action, there's alignment. Tonight is your heart aligned, postured with the ways of Jesus. You know, you sit with the team members who you support from the Baptist Mission Australia family, whether that's Tash working, you know, down west here in the city in Sydney, or whether it's Dave and Kaz in Southeast Asia, or Matt and Shannon in Central Australia, or Mel on the Silk Road, where I was sharing with her just last year. And yeah, you meet ordinary people, but as you sit and listen to their story, ordinary, humble people, but whose heart is aligned with the ways of God and whose heart is burdened for those in the community they serve. And God uses that burden. God uses that heart that is broken. God uses us when we are burdened for others and when we allow then God to use us to be his hands and feet. We see that in the Samaritan man story. In the late 1940s, there was an American mission worker called Robert Pierce, and he found himself in post-war China and Korea. And on this tipping point day in his life, a young American nurse comes up to him holding an orphan baby, and she leans out and puts the baby into Pierce's hands. And he later writes how uncomfortably he felt holding this baby because the nurse says to him, "What are you going to do about this child? Thousands of children orphaned." And she says, "What are you going to do about this child?" He quickly hands the baby back, puts his hands in his pocket, finds some coins, gives some coins to the nurse, walks away and thinks, "I've got out of that awkward situation." But he goes back to America and he can't forget this baby. He later writes that he would get up in the middle of the night thinking about the baby. He'd be going about his business during the day and he'd think about this child in his arms. And one night, true story, he gets up, he opens his Bible, and the front of his Bible, he writes what may be the most dangerous prayer that we will ever pray. We sing it in church. He writes, "Break my heart with the things that break the heart of God. Break my heart with the things that break the heart of God." He gets a small group of people together, having prayed that prayer, and begins to raise funds and sends money back to the situation to help some of the kids in Korea and China. But what is birthed is a movement that today is World Vision, the largest Christian care and justice organization on the planet. And it begins with this prayer in the Bible as he writes, "Break my heart with the things that break the heart of God." I want to ask you this tonight. Do you need to pray that prayer? You know, there are times when I don't want to pray that prayer. But there are plenty of times when I know I need to pray that prayer. You know, we can get so caught up in the busyness of life in Australia. We can get so caught up in our consumer materialistic world. We can get so caught up in a culture where we are bombarded by information. The average Australian now holds their phone more than 3,000 times a day. The average Australian gets more than 125 notifications a day. The average 30-year-old in our country will be on social media for 5 years of their life. We live in a world where life is so full, it's so easy to pass by and not hear the cries of those in the ditches. Do we need to pray that prayer tonight? "God, break my heart with the things that break the heart of God." With the Samaritan man, we see alignment. And then secondly, we see availability. His heart is aligned with the ways of Jesus, but he makes himself available. The two religious men, we're not told why, but they pass by. You know, are they late for an appointment? Are they scared about getting bashed themselves? What is the reason we're not told? But they don't stop. They don't want to be disturbed. They don't want their life to become uncomfortable. They fail to stop. But the Samaritan man stops. And if you want to think about a simple definition for mission today, so much of what we see God doing around the world is when people intentionally seek to live as good neighbours and they're willing to have their lives disturbed. And that can be you and me across the street in Thornleigh or across the city in Sydney or in Melbourne where I live or across the globe. Most of our mission workers at Baptist Mission Australia are ordinary people but seeking to live as good neighbours but willing to be disturbed. I travel a fair bit, and over the years, one of my older kids would take home the do not disturb signs from hotels. And when he was younger, if you would have stepped into his bedroom, you would have seen what brokenness really looks like, the messiness of our world. You know, and sometimes it would get too much. And my wife would say to him, "Hey, it's time to clean up your bedroom. It's time to clean up the mess." And he would quietly just slip into his room, close the door, and put the do not disturb sign up. Do not enter into my mess. And you know, I just wonder whether at times, do I put that sign on my heart and my life? I wonder, might you do the same thing? You know, God, here I am. I want to serve you. I love you, but don't take me beyond my comfort zone. Oh, God, you know, I love you and I serve you, but I know what is best, God. I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be with that person. I don't want to be burdened by that need. God, I want to stay safe. God, I don't want to take risk. I remember when my kids were younger, my older kids were younger, and we'd go to swimming to the local swimming pool, and they, you know, it would take 45 minutes to get them dressed by the time you put on the anti-cancer council swimsuits and all the sun cream, and all they'd want to do is play in the waiting pool. And in the waiting pool, they, you know, they felt safe because they could touch bottom and they knew what kids they could push over and which ones they couldn't, you know. But then for all of us, you know, in our culture in Australia, when it comes time to jump into the deep pool, we've got to jump into the deep water. And that's what Jesus invites us to, not to be satisfied with Christianity in the shallow pool, but he invites us to jump in deep beyond our comfort zone, knowing that he will lead us and the Holy Spirit is with us. But there is the messiness and brokenness of the world, and that is where Jesus calls us to engage and enter into. So what do we see in the Samaritan man's life? We see alignment, and then we see availability. He was willing to be disturbed. Maybe tonight we live with testimonies, but if we're honest, they're old testimonies. They're testimonies of what God wants in our life. And maybe tonight we need to say, God, surprise me again. God, here I am. I open my life up afresh. God, I want to be disturbed. God, I want to make myself available. I mentioned Pastor Peacefully earlier. You know, what a great name for a pastor working in a war zone. And Pastor Peacefully could have fled the Thai border, could have fled Myanmar 20 years ago, theologically trained with a university degree. But there he was in Thailand on the Myanmar border, a Karen follower of Jesus, and he was seeing all the horror around him. Fast forward to today, and we still see the conflicts in Myanmar. The fastest growing group of Baptists in Australia are Burmese. And as we come alongside our Burmese brothers and sisters, they say, please don't forget Myanmar. I was there just last year, 2 kilometres from the border, and bombs are being dropped by the military junta. Senseless loss of lives. And there is Pastor Peacefully, who made himself available. And rewind 20 years ago, he thought the greatest need in this local area is for a school, because the local refugee kids weren't allowed to go to Thai schools. And he thought, we'll start a school because these kids need opportunity. They need education. They might one day be free from the hell of where they're living. He didn't have any money or resources. His heart was aligned with the ways of Jesus. He made himself available. He wanted to be disturbed and burdened. He could have fled the country to comfort, but he stayed and he started a school 20 years ago with 40 kids. You go to that border village today, and there are now 3,000 students in that school. From foundation, kindergarten, whatever you now call them in New South Wales, through to young adults studying robotics at university. Most of the teachers are students who've come through the school and have chosen to plant themselves there. It's this oasis of hope. Get in the car and drive 45 minutes up the road, and you get to the Mela refugee camp, 50,000 refugees, many who've lived there all their lives, who can't leave that refugee camp. And there today you find the world's biggest Baptist Bible college. More than 500 students, young adults, most of them trapped into that refugee camp, but studying ministry, making themselves available. that one day they might be free to take the good news of Jesus beyond that refugee camp. And that whole vision started with Pastor Peacefully, who said, I want to align my heart with the ways of Jesus and I want to be available. I want to be disturbed. I don't choose comfort, but I choose to be where I am in a war zone that I might be the hands and feet of Jesus. Most of us here will never be called to a war zone. We're called the comfortable, affluent Australia. But it does come down to that choice of willing to be disturbed. God, here I am. Break my heart with the things that break the heart of God. God, here I am, wholly available. Use me that I might be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then finally, the Samaritan man needs to get into the ditch. He needs to get his hands dirty. You see, it's one thing to have your heart aligned with the ways of Jesus. It's another thing to say, I'm available, but then we've got to get into the ditch. What does the ditch mean for you and me? It'll mean many different things. My old college mentor used to say, Scott, you haven't got to look far to see brokenness. Just open your eyes. In fact, I think you can go one step beyond that. You can look in the mirror and see brokenness. I'm a broken person. And when I read this story, I'm reminded to be very careful that I actually don't look down at the person in the ditch in this story. Because I know what it is to live with brokenness and pain in my own life. I know what it is to be in the ditch in my own life. I'm incredibly thankful for followers of Jesus who in dark seasons in my life have come along to help me out of the ditch. And that's the beauty of bearing the hope and love of Jesus, because it's you and I as broken people who the Holy Spirit is putting together day by day. We're sent, ordinary people. We're sent out of the safety of this environment into the brokenness of our world. Just as we celebrate Easter and Jesus breaking into history, we are sent into communities of need. Maybe for you it's women and children escaping domestic violence. Maybe it's coming alongside friends living with mental health issues and the stigma that sadly goes with that. Maybe it's a burden for those in this city who are homeless. Maybe it's refugees and asylum seekers. Maybe it's First Nations people. Maybe it's the planet and creation care. Maybe it's somewhere on the other side of the globe that you feel burdened for. There are so many different needs that would be represented in our hearts tonight. The challenge of what do we do with those burdens? The Samaritan man's heart was aligned. He made himself available. But then he got into the ditch. He made a difference. He got his hands dirty. My wife has a burden for women experiencing homelessness and women who don't have secure housing. And over the years, we've had the joy of having people from different countries and different places live with us. And we are far better people for those who've lived with us. And a little while ago, my wife came across a young woman in Melbourne who was 9 months pregnant and about to have a baby. And this is not some developing country across the globe. There was not one secure crisis bed for that woman in Melbourne. And if she didn't have somewhere safe to live, she would have potentially lost her baby. And so my wife says, well, what should we do? It's one thing to have our hearts aligned and be available, but are we going to act here? And there were lots of reasons to say, no, we couldn't. We've just moved into the smallest house that we've lived in, and we had a bit of a family conference. And my youngest daughter, who's 12, said she would move out of her bedroom so that, I'll call her Kathy, so that Kathy could move in. My 12-year-old says, I'll move out of my bedroom and Kathy can move in as long as I can live in the tent in your bedroom, Mum and Dad. And then with her great negotiation skill, she says, and maybe I can get a little bit more iPad time. So here we are. Kathy moves in to the house, moves into Ada's bedroom. Here's Megan and I going to bed every night with Ada chatting to us with the tent and the torch on right next door. And Kathy has this beautiful little girl. I'm going to call her Olive. And just for a short time, I get to hold Olive, and so do the kids in my household. We get to look after Olive, and we get to pray for Olive that God would watch over her, and that her and her mum would finally break free of the kind of dysfunction that had been part of their world. And she's able to move into some stable and secure housing. And I don't know what will happen for Olive, but I pray for her. And you know, the cost to us was incredibly small, you know. A little bit of family disturbance, a kid in a tent keeping us awake at night, and the joy of holding this little baby. And I've said this across the three services, particularly those who are parents, but maybe to you who are also younger tonight. I think it's really important for parents that we need to make sure that our kids are disturbed today, that they know some of the discomfort of the world, that they understand and see more of the brokenness of our world. Yes, it's good to protect our kids, but we don't want our kids living in a holy huddle in a vacuum. We want them to see the brokenness of the world. And you know, particularly those who are younger tonight, so many people who make so much difference in the world are those who are young, who wholeheartedly step out and say, God, use me, use me. Many years ago now, I'm showing my age, I've been a Baptist pastor for 30 years. But in my first church in Mayfield, in Newcastle, I was speaking one Sunday night, and I can't even remember the context, but people kind of came forward to give their lives to Jesus. And this girl from year 12, Fiona, came forward. And I kind of thought, you know, she's already following Jesus. And I said to her, Fiona, what are you standing here for? And so articulately, Fiona said, Scott, I've got a burden to be an occupational therapist, to go to Cambodia and to work with kids who've lost limbs in landmines. It was an incredible vision for a 17-year-old. And she looked at her young pastor and said, so what should I do now? And the best I could think of was finish year 12. And she finished year 12 and she went to uni and she studied. And then she stepped out and served with Baptist Mission Australia, met her husband in Cambodia, set up this beautiful ministry for kids living with disabilities in a culture where kids are shamed who've got a disability. She's now back living in Sydney with her husband and her beautiful two Khmer adopted boys, and that beautiful ministry continues, led by local people. But Fiona poured a decade of her life into it. And I was in Cambodia recently and I saw the legacy of that ministry and how it continues. And it began with a 17-year-old in a suburban Newcastle church who dared hold on to this vision of what could be. Let me finish with this. When the Samaritan man was walking along the street that day and he saw the man in the ditch, as Jesus tells the story, you know what Jesus wants to evoke within us? Jesus wants us, I think, to hear that story and say, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way that this man is left in the ditch. It shouldn't be this way that the kids on the Burmese border are risking their very lives and they can't go to school. You know, it shouldn't be that in Thailand on our video tonight that only 1% of the population know Jesus in a way that makes sense to them. It shouldn't be that in Malawi so many kids don't have any opportunity to earn an income. It shouldn't be this way. And you know what? I think that is what the Holy Spirit wants to stir in us. And we need that more than ever in our world today. People who say, it shouldn't be this way. But you can say that and do nothing about that. Or, like the Samaritan man, you can say, it shouldn't be that way. And then get down in the ditch. Get your hands dirty. Get your clothes bloodied. And roll up your sleeves and say, this is the way it should be. And I look around the world today, and who is bringing such significant difference around the globe. Ordinary people who weep and lament at the world as it is today, and we should weep and lament. But people who then say, I'm not accepting indifference. It shouldn't be this way. In Jesus' name, this is how it should be. And so, God, here I am. One life. Help me to play my part in bringing your restorative vision to the globe. And you know what? Every one of us in this building is invited to that afresh tonight, to play our part in God's restorative vision of this week being the hands and feet of Jesus in our broken world, across the street and across the globe. Will you pray with me? Just right now, before the team comes to lead us in worship, can I just invite you, just where you are, quietly, still tonight, to first and foremost catch your breath and remind yourself that you are loved by God. Maybe you've known that for many years, but you need to be reminded of that afresh tonight, that you are lavishly loved by God. Or maybe for the very first time tonight, you need to take hold of that reality in your life, that Jesus laid down his life for you. God loves you, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And beyond that, I'd like to just invite you tonight to ask yourself the question, do I need to pray that prayer? God, break my heart with the things that break the heart of God. Maybe tonight we need to confess our busyness, our apathy. And maybe we've got so much stuff happening in our lives and I want to respect that, but maybe we're so caught up in our own life circumstances that we've lost sight of the needs of others. Tonight, if you know you need to pray that prayer, can I just invite you? You might put your hands out in front of you right now and say, God, soften my heart. God, break my heart with the things that break the heart of God. Or maybe tonight you know that God is rattling the cage and your prayer might be, God, move me beyond my comfort zone. Tonight I want to take off my do not disturb sign. And here I am, God, ready to be used by you. I haven't got it all together, God, but I want to give it everything I've got to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this broken world. Or you might be right there in the ditches tonight, and you know that it's hard. At times you might feel overwhelmed. But tonight you might need to hear the Holy Spirit saying, hold on to hope, hold on to hope, hold on to hope. Keep loving, keep serving, keep turning up. Because the world God, we thank you that in your love you choose us, ordinary broken people, to join you in the most noble, life-giving, purposeful thing we can ever do in life. To join you on mission across the street and around the world as the hands and feet of Jesus. And with our eyes closed and our heads bowed tonight as we wrap up, just where we are right now with our eyes closed, heads bowed, I'm just mindful of some people tonight. Might be a tipping point night where tonight you want to say, Jesus, here I am. I want to make myself wholly available for the very first time. Or, Jesus, I want to make myself available again. I want to get back on track. I want to serve you. I want to be your hands and feet. And so tangibly, sometimes it helps us to do something. So quietly as we pray, can I just invite you, if that's you tonight, you know the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and you know you want to say, God, here I am, move me beyond my comfort zone. Here I am to serve you tonight. Can I just invite you quietly just to stand right where you are now? Just to stand right now. Don't worry about other people around you. Just quietly to stand and say, God, here I am. inside, but we're not yet standing. I just want to pray that you might just send us all out this week with a fresh vision of who you are and that beautiful invitation to serve you, to be your hands and feet in this broken world. Thank you for this church, for its heart for mission across the street and around the world. Send us out, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.